So we get to this end of Luke chapter 9 is verse 51, which marks a pivotal moment in the life of Jesus in the version of Luke's gospel. And it says at the very beginning that when the time was fulfilled for Jesus to be taken up, he resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. And that tells us everything. That this was the moment when he said, "Let's go." Resolute determination. In the Greek, it says he set his face towards Jerusalem, which echoes back to the servant songs of Isaiah that we hear about during the Lenten season, where that lamb led to the slaughter had his face set like flint, knowing that his end was destruction. And so this is the state of mind that Jesus has at this moment. So up until this point, he's been traveling from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem in the south and all the little towns and villages along the way, preaching, proclaiming, doing miracles, doing these healings, revealing the heart of the Father to the people as he moved about the people. But now it's time. It's time to go to Jerusalem so that the Father's will be accomplished. And he's on this journey. And that word journey happened a couple of times in that scripture passage. This on the way. And that's how the early church was described, as people on the way. We're a pilgrim people. We're on a journey from one place to another. And when we build churches, we have a center aisle that we should come in the main doors and we come down the main aisle as a sign to us that our bodies are living out the reality of who we are. That people on a journey. So this pilgrimage from out there, outside the church, through the church, through the rail that separates the heavens and the earth. We come into heaven and we go to the Eucharist and it takes us up to heaven, up to the Father. But the churches are built this way to reveal to us the reality of this life on a journey. And Jesus is inviting us into that journey. And we had the three men with this invitation to discipleship. Last week we had Corpus Christi Sunday, so we had a different set of reading. If it had been just a regular 12th Sunday of ordinary time, we would have heard Jesus tell this: "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." This high cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't soften it so it doesn't seem too intimidating, so at least to get you to try and see if you like it. No, from the very beginning, he sets the high standard. Because the gift of grace, the life of eternity in heaven is free, but it costs you your life. And this is what St. Paul was talking about in the second reading. That for freedom, Christ has set you free. You know, this letter he wrote to the Galatians, when you read it, there's a little bit of a fire in Paul's words. Because he had established this community, and they had given their life to Jesus, and then these fake apostles came in telling them that they had to be circumcised, that they had to follow the old Jewish law. And so Paul is saying, why are you going back to the former ways? To justify yourself in the flesh. You've been set free in the Spirit. Live in the freedom of the Spirit. But don't use this freedom to make your life better. Don't satisfy the desires of the flesh. Use this freedom to love, to serve your brothers and sisters, to no longer be chained to this world, but to be completely free from this world. And this is the conditions that Jesus gave those three men in the gospel. "I will follow you wherever you go, Lord," the first one said. And Jesus says, "Really? Do you know what you're saying? Because this is a rough life. I don't even have a home. I sleep where I can. I eat what I can. There's no security here." How many of us are willing to let go of everything to follow Jesus? Or how many of us hold on to just a little bit just in case it gets too tough? I'll give up everything, well, maybe not this one thing. I hold on to this in my life just in case. Jesus doesn't really want me to be that radical, does he? He's not going to be a fanatic, am I? I want to be like normal, like everybody else, and just sprinkle a little Jesus on my life. I'll come to Mass on Sunday. I might say a couple of prayers, but I'm like everybody else. That's what Jesus wants, right? I mean, this nonsense that we hear, even in the church, in the Catholic Church, to be the best version of yourself and to live your best life now, that's diabolical. That's not the gospel, and it's not what Jesus calls us to. Self-renunciation, dying to self, that's not your best life now, and that's not the best version of yourself. Well, let me go bury my father, then I'll follow you. The scholars tell us that this man's dad wasn't dead. It wasn't like his dad was waiting to be buried back home. This man said, no, let me go and finish the life that I want to live. And then once all of that is taken care of, once my affairs are in order, then I'll follow you. Once I finish college, then I'll get my life together. Well, once I retire, then I'll start going to Mass regularly and start praying. Well, once my kids get out of school, then I can start doing these things. Once these things, these other more important things get taken care of, Lord, then I'll give you some of my time. How many of us fall into that trap? Well, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go say goodbye to my family first. No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom, Jesus says. I mean, I'm not a farmer. I don't know if any of you have ever run a plow by hand, but if you've ever tried to walk a straight line and not looked at where you're going, you zigzag. And that's what he's saying. If I am the prize, if I'm the goal of your life, keep your eyes on me. Don't look around to anything else, because if you do, you go off course. He tells us elsewhere, you have to be willing to hate your mother and your father, your brother and your sister to be my disciple. I have come not for peace, but for division. I will be separating families, Jesus says. This is the hard truth of the words of Jesus. But this is the only way to freedom. This is the only way to true peace. It's to completely surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And that's what Elisha did in the first reading. He said, well, let me go back to my family. But then he didn't go back. He slaughtered his oxen and he burned the materials he would need. He surrendered completely. He severed all ties completely to his former way of life. There was no way for him to go back. And this is the invitation for each one of us, each one of you. So what have we not yet surrendered? What cross has the Lord put before us that we have not yet chosen to take up each day? What version of my life am I still trying to achieve while still trying to serve the Lord? The Lord is inviting you into the most wonderful adventure, the adventure of intentional discipleship, complete surrender to His will, His way. And this is how He can be our inheritance from the responsorial song. Because either He's our everything, our only thing, or He really is nothing. And there's no way to make it any different than that. Ask our Blessed Mother to help you today, to have her faith, her hope, her love, her surrender, so you can completely give your life to Christ, maybe for the first time or just the next time. The Lord wants your entire heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let the Lord truly be your inheritance. Say yes to this life of radical discipleship.